All right, let's go back east and bring in Ron Kaplan. As I said, Ron, the author of Hank Greenberg in 1938. He's got a couple of very good blogs out as well, which we're going to mention. But, Ron, I really enjoy this book. Tell us about Hank Greenberg in 1938 and how it came about.
Well, the book came about, there have been a number of books, obviously great books about Greenberg, but this one particular season, he was challenging Babe Ruth's single season home run record, which has just been set a little over a decade earlier. So no one else had come close except for Jimmy Fox. But because of the situation, what was going on with Hank Greenberg, who was baseball's first Jewish superstar, the situation going on in Europe as the Nazis were expanding their grasp, and anti-Semitism was very firm in the United States, unfortunately, it seemed that this made for an interesting story.
Yeah, and I've said this many times on the show, and people have heard me say it. I have a nonprofit called American Innings, Inc., where I take my interviews and kind of link them up to things that have happened in the world. We always see it on the baseball field. And I think in this one especially, it struck me that what was going on in the world did become reflected on the baseball diamond with the anti-Semitism in the world and towards Hank Greenberg. So I thought there was an absolute connection there.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that Greenberg, who was born and raised in New York, chose to play in what was perhaps at the time the most anti-Semitic city in the country, Detroit. Detroit had Henry Ford, who was a notorious anti-Semite, and Father Charles Coughlin, who was the predecessor of these talk show radio, conservative radio host. He was a rabid anti-Semite as well. And in Ford's paper, the Dearborn Independent, he had blamed Jews as the main source of the 1919 Black Sox scandal.
Well, all right. No, I think there's tremendous connections between the world and baseball. I'm glad that the book exists. The other part is Hank Greenberg, the way you have the book set up, which I think is fascinating. I like these kind of books, is that you weave in what is going on in the world through the months of the baseball season and how it ties into Greenberg and his quest. It was a big deal to hit 60 home runs here. There's a lot going on here.
Well, one of the things people forget is that when Babe Ruth hit 60, no one else had done anything like that before. So he was under absolutely no pressure. You know, anything he did was a bonus, so to speak. But after that, you know, if you have a Jimmy Fox or Hank Greenberg, anyone who's getting close to hitting 50, and the comparisons start. So it's a question when Greenberg was playing toward the end of the season, especially in September, there was always the question of whether teams didn't want to pitch to him because they didn't want a Jew breaking that sacred record.
You know, it's funny because this goes on to Roger Maris's quest to break the record and, of course, for Greenberg as well, that they said, well, Babe Ruth only played in 151 games in 1927, so that you better break the record in 151 games, not 154. And then, of course, we got into the 162 with Ford Frick later on as well. So that played into this thing, too, didn't it?
It did, and, you know, it's not... It's funny because Greenberg in that year, 1938, played in every single game, almost every single inning. He missed two innings the whole season. He played actually 155 games because one game ended in a tie. So the same thing with Maris. Should they be penalized because baseball is the one who decided to expand the season to 162 games? It wasn't Roger Maris who asked for extra consideration and extra chances. And the same thing with Greenberg.
Well, plus he had more plate appearances than Babe Ruth anyway. Or Babe
sure.
Ruth had more than I think it worked out where even though you explained it with the plate appearances.
Well, with the plate appearances, again, you know, one of the things I have in the book is there's an appendix which shows a breakdown of the September games, and it looks at the pitchers and what they did in September and what they did against Greenberg as far as walks go versus what they did the rest of the year. And in almost every case, it was very comparable to their regular walks per game for the rest of the year. Did Greenberg have any extra special chances? No. If anything, he was hurt because games that were rained out early in the season had to be made up up at the end of the season when it's getting dark earlier. And this is an era basically before lights. The first night games that occurred in the major leagues took place that year, but they were they're only in one city. And so you get the end of September, the beginning of October, the second games of doubleheaders had to be shortened because called on account of darkness.
Boy, very good. Ron Kaplan wrote the book. It's Hank Greenberg in 1938. And again, when Greenberg said he hit a home run, he said he was trying to defeat Hitler when he did it. That's one of those quotes I like.
He was pretty conscious about what's going on in the world, but naturally in those days, ballplayers pretty much kept their mouths shut as far as anything outside of their athletic purview. They weren't looked upon as great spokespersons for causes as they are then. But again, you know, Greenberg realized as the basic Jewish superstar of the era that a lot of people were looking for him for some sort of leadership, guidance, some sort of statement, and he came to realize that he was a representative of the Jewish people. And sure, he knew what was going on. His parents came from Romania. I don't have any information about whether he had actual relatives still living over there at the time, and then what they might have gone through in the Holocaust. But he realized that he was being looked up to for guidance and support.
Yeah, an amazing year, honestly. As I said, it connects the world history to baseball, which I love to be able to do and connect it. But 1938, what went on in the world, and look at baseball, and of all the people that had 58 home runs, it's a Jewish man, and they don't want him to break the record, and he stands up to it. Now, his teammates, it's interesting, part of the historical perspective you give in the book, JoJo White, who came from Georgia, and Hank Greenberg, when they first met, JoJo White kept staring at him.
Well, they met in the minor leagues, and JoJo was a play on his very strong Southern accent because he came from Georgia, so it was JoJo. They were in the locker room together in Beaumont, Texas, and this is, again, you know, Greenberg was 19 years old. First time out of New York, basically, traveling to minor league teams in the Deep South, where they had literally never seen a Jew before. And JoJo is looking at him in the locker room, and Greenberg says, you know, what are you looking at? And he says, nothing, I've just, again, never seen a Jew before. So Greenberg says, well, if you see anything interesting? He said, no, but I always thought you people had horns. So see, the ignorance that was going on in those days is just astounding, and it's kind of quaint and comical. He didn't mean anything harmful by it. He wasn't being spurious with his comments, but still, it's just astounding these days with all the cultural mixing to see what was going on back then.
Yeah, to understand history, you have to understand the times and understand how people believed in those times, what went on in those times, because we look at it today and we're astounded that things like that could happen. And then, of course, we see things today. LeBron James and stuff that happened with him. But,
right.
Yeah, it's amazing to you have to put yourself. Leonard Coppett taught me that years ago. He says you always have to put yourself in the times to understand it. One last thought on Greenberg, then we'll move on to your other blogs, which are very interesting. He was asked that question, are you going to break Ruth's record so many times? He had an interesting response.
Well, he was very honest. He was like, maybe I will, maybe I won't. But one of the things he said was, even if he did, he would never be Babe Ruth. No one would ever be Babe Ruth. And he had great respect for Babe Ruth. There are pictures of him later when Ruth was dying and Greenberg visited him at his home. And Ruth had no problem with him breaking the record. He said, if he can do it, that's great. You know, go ahead and do it. But there was a lot of respect and a lot of humility in Greenberg.
Ruth was still kicking around in 38. Wasn't he a first base coach for the Brooklyn Dodgers under Leo DeRocher then, which those two didn't like each
really
other.
Well.
They didn't like each other either.
No, they didn't. And that was a publicity stunt. Yeah, Ruth had retired as a player, and the Dodgers weren't doing that well. And then as now, you know, you do something to boost the gate a little bit. So Ruth was not very good at his job. He thought, you know, all you do is stand at first base and, you know, clap somebody on the back when they get there. But he just couldn't get a handle on the signs, and he didn't last too long.
Well, Ron Kaplan with us. It's an excellent book on the historical perspective of the world, how Hank Greenberg fit into it, and it's a good baseball story as well, Hank Greenberg in 1938. Ron, I guess you get it at all the local places you get books, and I always like to plug The Book Tree in Montclair, that's a nice private bookstore, so independent. So, but I assume you can get the book anywhere?
Oh, I certainly hope so.
Okay, but good for you. Hey, you've got a couple other blogs that I want you to just to mention as we wrap it up, because you are a prolific writer, as we like to say.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I started Ron Kaplan's Baseball Bookshelf about 10 years ago or so. It's a blog about baseball literature primarily, but it also literally is anything you can put on a bookshelf. So it's like collectibles and DVDs and music, and there's a podcast component that goes with it called the Bookshelf Conversation, where I speak with authors and musicians and filmmakers about their craft. And the other blog I have is called Kaplan's Corner, which focuses exclusively on Jews in sports, professional sports, amateur sports. This year is going to be the 20th Maccabiah Games in Israel, which is an amateur competition that's the third largest in the world behind the Olympics and the University Games as far as participation. So they're holding it in Israel every 4 years, so this will be the 20th game, so it's really going to be something special.
Very good, and you can follow that on the blog. We have a friend, Sam Singer, Cal basketball player, is going over there to play. Mm-hmm. So I know that. Hey, great to have you on the show, Ron. It's a good book. I'm enjoying it, and we'll have you on again. This is a good story, and I like the connection of history and baseball. I really appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
All right, that is Ron Kaplan, the book Hank Greenberg in 1938. All right, more coming up on the Sports Leader.